Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call this Thursday, July 14th, 2016 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Ms. Spear, would you please call the roll?
Chairman Noe.
Here.
Mayor Silverthorne.
Here.
Chairman Bulova.
Here.
Chair Randall.
Here.
Board Member Cassette.
Here.
Mayor Silverberg.
Here.
Mayor Parrish.
Here.
Councilmember Schneider.
Here.
Councilmember Rochelle.
Here.
Senator Black.
Here.
Delegate Hugo.
Here.
Delegate Minshew.
Here.
Ms. Hines.
Here.
Mr. Cole.
Here.
Mayor Foreman. Ms. Hamilton.
Here.
Mr. Horsley.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Fantastic. First item before us this evening is the minutes of the June 9th meeting, which I believe were sent out in advance. Any questions, comments, changes need to be made to those?
Chairman, I'd be happy to move approval of the minutes.
Motion by Ms. Bulova, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Randall. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Abstention.
Abstention from Mr. Kolb and Ms. And Snyder.
And
Hines. Thank you. And before we go any further, because I sometimes forget to do this, we have some new members with us tonight. Our new gubernatorial appointee is Mr. Jim Kolb, who I just got the pleasure of meeting myself for the first time this evening. Welcome aboard, Mr. Kolb.
My pleasure.
And we're normally actually a little less formal than this. And if we weren't taking pictures, you're overdressed. At least I'm less formal. And we have our brand new member, who most of you have never met before, Mary Hines, our new CTV appointee. For those who don't get the joke, Mary was a member of this authority for about a year and a half, representing Arlington County until she wisely chose not to run for re-election and escape this life that the rest of us chose to stick with for a few more years. But gets to come back and do this fun work, so welcome aboard. We have two consent agenda items.
Yes.
Ms. Backer, anything you need to add to either of these?
I do not.
Okay.
So
the motion from Mr. Parrish. Second from Ms. Bulova. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries as well. We are now, this is the moment we've been waiting for, I guess. Ms. Backman,
yeah.
FY17 program.
So, Mr. Chairman, tonight we're giving you an overview of what was presented to the Planning and Programming Committee, in addition to some additional supplemental information that we did receive. Just to remind everyone, the authority issued the call for projects for your FY17 program in September, I believe, of last year. The applications were due November 30th, and we received 25 projects and ended up recommending that 24 candidate projects go forward for analysis. This is the last funding program that will be done under your current long-range transportation plan, Transaction 2040. As you all know, we are in the process of updating Transaction 2040, which will be the first update since the passage of HB 2313. Out of the 24 candidate projects, the total requested amount for all 24 projects was $667.8 million. The available PAYGO revenues is $267.7 million. At the Finance Committee meeting, the committee recommended that the not-to-exceed amount or the cap on this one-year program not exceed $475 million. I won't spend too much time on the summary of the MBTA staff analysis. You've seen this information before. What you have before you is the congestion reduction relative to cost rank, in addition to the quantitative scores and rank for all 24 projects. I will note the projects that are highlighted in the greenish color, if you will, are the projects that the MBTA staff is recommending. So you had a public comment period that started May 13th, which was the day after your May 12th authority meeting, and that comment period ended on 5 p.m. on June 17th. You had a public hearing on June 9th, which was immediately prior to your June 9th meeting. Several of the member localities also hosted town hall meetings. Those include Alexandria, Arlington, Fairfax County held three, and then Prince William, Manassas, and Manassas Park did hold a joint town hall. We received 346 comments, 200 written comments, 29 public hearing speakers, I do want to note we had 117 comments submitted by Senator Surville, along with his letter of support. We had 8 written comments were duplicate, so we didn't include them because they were duplicate comments from people who also spoke at the public hearing. We received a comment letter from Supervisor McKay in support of the Fairfax County Route 1, and we also received public comment letters from other elected officials. The reason why we noted Senator Surville's and Supervisor McKay, some did come in after the end of the public comment period. This chart shows all, and I'm sure you can read it well, but this chart shows that all of the public comments received for every project. I will say for some of the projects we did not receive any comments on, but this chart does note the comments of support and opposition regarding the public comments. Also, as part of your meeting packet, we did send out the link so that you guys could go in on the website and see the raw comments that were provided for every project. Your technical advisory committee met on May 18th and June 15th. At their meeting on May 18th, they went over a lot of the HB 599 evaluation and MBTA staff evaluation on the project list. At their June 15th meeting, they did provide a recommendation on the projects that should be funded. The TAC recommended 10 projects for funding at a total cost of $434.4 million. It is important to note, and the chairman of the TAC is here, that their recommendation is not prioritized in any sort of order. They did want me to make that clear for you this evening. So the projects are listed, but not in any order. The TAC also expressed concerns regarding 2 of the projects that it recommended, and you'll see that on the next slide. But here are the 10 projects that the Technical Advisory Committee recommended for funding. Regarding the comments that they had on 2 of the projects, they did express concern on the Metro Blue Line traction power upgrades and the FTA directives. They just wanted to ensure that there was no conflict with the FTA directives if the authority so choose to advance this particular project. They also noted some comments about the concerns about the I-66 and Route 28 interchange improvements, understanding that the authority is funding an interchange and it was part of Transaction 2040 and was evaluated as such, but they did ask me to share these comments with you regarding investments in the interstate system. Your Planning and Programming Committee met on July 1, and this committee endorsed the Technical Advisory Committee recommendations and the MBTA staff recommendation. And I do want to say that those recommendations were the same, and we did not influence that in any shape, form, or fashion, but the TAC recommendations was consistent or the same as the MBTA staff recommendation. The PPC also requested supplemental information on one of the recommended projects, which is the WMATA 8-car traction power upgrade, and 5 additional projects which were not on the MBTA staff recommended list. This slide notes that regarding the 10 projects that were being recommended as part of the TAC and MBTA staff recommendation, 9 of the 12 projects were based on the congestion reduction relative to cost ranking. Again, the authority by law is charged to give priority to, and it's important to say priority to, not select, but give priority to the projects that provide the greatest level of congestion reduction relative to cost. And then we added a project, and this is from staff, based on the high MBTA quantitative score. The Potomac Yard Metro project, the congestion reduction relative to cost score wasn't as great as some of the other projects, but the MBTA quantitative score, I believe it came in at number 3. The remaining 3 of the top projects that were not recommended, Manassas-Sutley Road project, we did not recommend that project as it was funded through the state 6-year program. The Falls Church Bike Share Connections project, based on your actions this evening, it is now funded as well. And then the Fairfax County Bus Project, we did not recommend that one due to the low quantitative score. Regarding some of the supplementary information on WMATA's Blue Line traction power upgrades, we did receive a letter from MBTA, from WMATA Chairman Mr. Evans, addressed to MBTA Chairman Mr. Noe, stating that there was no conflict between the FTA directive and the MBTA funding requirements. Number one, you do have a policy that you adopted the latter half of last year. We call it Policy 17, which is your drawdown policy. Policy 17 is only applicable to this FY 2017 program. It essentially states that the first drawdown for any projects that are adopted as part of this FY 17 program must occur by June 30th, 2019, or must show project activation. Project activation does not mean sending invoices for staff time. It means real progress on the project. Subsequently, we did receive a letter on July the 6th from WMATA's chief safety officer addressed to myself that provided some additional detailed information, and it essentially states that the blue line segment in which we are looking considering tonight is not in conflict with the FTA's directive. We did include the raw materials regarding the supplemental information that we received on all of the projects with your packet. So if you want to read additional detail, it is in your packet. Regarding the Planning and Programming Committee recommendations, here are the 10 projects. Some are continuation projects, others are new projects, but looking at the list, we have Lee Highway, Route 28 in Fairfax County, VRE Manassas Park, Route 286 Fairfax County Parkway, the widening of Route 28 in Prince William, widening of Route 1 in Prince William, WMATA Blue Line Traction Power Upgrades, Route 7 in Fairfax, the I-66 Route 28 Interchange, and the Potomac Yard Metro Station. The total cost, again, for this recommended program is $434.4 million. As I said earlier, the PPC requested some supplemental information for five projects that did include the bike share project in Falls Church, additional information on Crystal City Street, which was an Arlington County project, additional information on the East Falls Church Regional Connections and Access project, which is also submitted by Arlington County, additional info on West End Transit Way, and the Route 7/Battlefield Parkway interchange that was submitted by Leesburg. This chart, and I won't read all of the materials because, again, it was included as part of your supplementary informational packet, but we just wanted to note some of the comments that were received regarding the supplemental information. I did want to note that the total request for these five additional projects is $64.1 million. So just to reiterate, available PAYGO funds for this fiscal year 2017 is $267.7 million. That will leave us with the gap, if you so choose to fund these 10 recommended projects, a gap of $167.6 million. So we would have to consider some financing options. Again, Finance Committee recommended not exceeding a total program cost of $475 million. So the difference between the Finance Committee recommended cap and then the 10 recommended projects is $40.5 million. So, Mr. Chairman, I will. I'm concluding my presentation this evening unless you have any additional questions.
Before we go to questions, and I apologize, I should have made this introduction earlier. We have with us this evening Secretary of Transportation Aubrey Lane for the Commonwealth, Deputy Secretary Nick Donahue, and the Secretary, if you have anything you want to share, give us a little input on this.
Sure, I'll make this brief, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members, for allowing me to come up here. Obviously, in watching Monica's presentation, a large request has to do with the 66-28 interchange. I've spoken a lot of you about 66. Thankfully, we're not here talking about that tonight. We're not here talking about tolling tonight. What we're here is talking about simply whether or not this board would vote to move forward with that interchange at 66 and 28. My understanding is that the cost of the interchange based on your scoring was about $370 million. What we're saying with the state, if that would go forward in conjunction with the 66 project, that would be no more than $300 million. What that would allow the state to do is to leverage that money. I want to point out again, that money would be for the interchange. But it would be to allow the state to leverage that money in a broader scope and coming to fruition for the 66 project. But let me point out, it would be no risk at all to this board. I'm not asking this, we're not asking the state, the board to take any risk at all with it. If, in fact, the negotiated contract comes in less than $300 million from your perspective, basically said we'd split this 50-50, then it would be less than $300 million that we would request, but still perform the interchange, still do the interchange per the specifications. In addition to that, in the broad 66 project, there's roughly $350 million of present value, I'd say present value dollars, of money thrown off during the 50-year term that nominal monies that would be probably close to $100 billion, I'm guessing. I'm just doing the math. But that would come to this board to be used for other projects in this quarter in that. I know I've had questions about when that money would return. That's all about negotiation in terms of what we deal with the potential concessionaires, because the state is not looking for the absolute lowest cost. I think that's a mistake the state has done before in negotiating these deals and paid a high price for other types of provisions like HOV restrictions, like alternative facility charges. And the cash flows will work based on how that works. But I would tell you I would negotiate from the state's perspective to move those monies up as quickly as possible, the return that we could, that made basically good economic sense. The same thing I would ask them in terms of building the interchange to move that up, working with VDOT, as quickly as we could. I know there's some sections of the road, I don't know about this particular interchange, that don't require right-of-way. Those are things that could move quickly. I would work with VDOT to see if we could expedite getting this interchange done towards the front end of the construction period. So that's really what the state is asking and is prepared to team with you on. I want to note, I did see the note up there about possibly the federal government or the state should fund the interstate. Well, that would be my wish too. But the fact of the matter is there are no more programs that exist that way, and that responsibility has been delegated down to the states in terms of how we provide that. You all know you've had a scoring up here longer than we have, but we have significantly more dollars. We had $7 billion in requests for about $1.7 billion we had to allocate this year, of which $300 million of the state's participation would be matched with yours on this. So we simply don't have the monies to do that without participating. With the regions, I will note that we have done the same thing in Hampton Roads on Interstate 66. In fact, but it's more like about 40% we participated down there. Here it's about 50, it's 50-50 no matter what. And as I hope that will come in a lot less than the $300 million that we're asking you for, but I can't guarantee that. I don't want to make any promises, but that would certainly be the way we would negotiate. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions or just get out of your way.
Let me do this. I know the Secretary has you've got a timeline you've got to leave on.
Yeah, I have to leave about 8 o'clock. I have to catch a flight to go to the Roanoke.
So what I'm going to do is this. We're going to have lots of time for discussion about the project list generally, but are there any questions specifically for the Secretary?
Mr. Chairman, first of all, I appreciate you calling the Secretary to come up. But when we approve projects, assuming that we do approve the City 628 project, we normally have our standard project agreement to come forward in 5 or 6 months. I assume that in order to capture the good things that Secretary Lane has said, this standard project agreement will have a memorandum of understanding of some nature attached to it, that it's not just a funding proposal, it's a funding proposal with some cooperative understanding between the Commonwealth and the authority that our worthy council will work out on our behalf. And it's going to be extremely, I guess, before we see the SPA, we'll have that memorandum of understanding or whatever we may choose to call it before us for action.
That would be our intent, yes, to have to work out. We've done that again with the Hampton Roads, a memorandum of understanding of what the duties of both parties are. And I would think the only duty of this one is to build the interchange. The rest of it would be contingent. The risk, by the way, of construction of the interchange, should we do that, would be on the state. We would have to deliver that interchange and that. And so, but none of the other risk in the projects that we're negotiating with the potential concessionaires would accrue at all. The only thing would be the revenues off of this would come back, let's say in a quarter, to NBTA. I would mention there's also approximately over $700 million coming out of 66 that's going to transit for the quarter in present value terms. That'll be coming here, not included in the $350 million that would be coming here for quarter improvements. I do believe there are substantial benefits in the quarter. I know a lot of people say all the monies are going to pay to the concessionaires. That's not true in this particular case. In the way that we've done the term sheet, I expect them to hopefully make a lot of money as long as they can meet our term sheet.
And if, what I would add is, presuming that we move forward tonight, we could actually include that expectation that the MOU would be executed along with the SDO. We can make the adoption of that MOU a contingency for the adoption of the approval of the SBA.
Two questions. One for you. So if this comes back, I think, and I'm in favor of the project, but if this comes back, and I would hope you could bring it down from 50 years to, I don't know, the number 10, 15, 20, I mean, some sort of quicker return. But I guess my question from a parliamentary aspect, Mr. Chairman, we'll get the chance to review this, but what is each item that comes before us needs a two-thirds vote? I know we have a weighted vote. My home county has 52%, which I know they're going to wield graciously and judiciously, but it requires two-thirds. Is that correct?
So that's correct. So what we've traditionally done, so the folks understand, that with the direct question, we in order for this authority to approve anything, even the smallest procedural motion, requires that two-thirds of the voting members present plus two-thirds of the jurisdictional representatives present, plus jurisdictional representatives whose populations equal two-thirds of the population of the region must vote in the affirmative. So there's three different criteria. To your second point, to be clear, it is impossible for this authority to achieve a two-thirds majority on anything unless the Fairfax County representative votes in the affirmative. And I'll add another mathematical reality is that if Fairfax and Prince William both vote in the affirmative, you're at about 63%. So when sort of calculating votes, the combination of Fairfax and Prince William, or frankly Fairfax and Loudoun, gets you most of the way to two-thirds, therefore making it difficult to get two-thirds of the jurisdictions without getting two-thirds of the region, frankly, unless Fairfax votes no. So,
and then one question for the Secretary. You mentioned the concessionaires. I mean, are we having preliminary discussion? You made reference to the lowest bid. I think we had the problem down at 460 that I think we've discussed in the past. Do we have a number of concessionaires that are considering this? Are we 1, 2, 3?
We had three that originally said that they would meet our term sheet. We continue actively with two concessionaires, very actively with two concessionaires. And what we're in, just to update you, Doug Hugo, we're about 2 weeks away from the final proposal that we will go out and see, and they're due in September. What we've been in the period of discussions with them about technical and financial changes, they're making suggestions, we're working with them from both parties. So as we get the final proposal, we've had a chance to see the things that they're looking at and what we're looking at to help both not only the state, but them also.
Mr. Chairman,
please.
I would just thank the Secretary because, and I don't know, but I would assume one of them might be one of the companies that did the 460 project. And so I appreciate your comments that you're not necessarily going for the lowest bidder, but to have that 460 debacle brought up here would be unfortunate. So thank you for doing that.
Sure. Anything else for the Secretary? Mr. Lane, thank
you. Thank
you,
Mr. Chairman. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so having heard from Monica and from the Secretary, let me we've got plenty of time for discussion. Let me start with passing this out and go both ways. There's plenty of topics. So we had the PPC meeting about a week and a half ago, but it was 2 weeks ago. Monica laid out the recommendations that came out of that, which were essentially to adopt the 10 projects that were her recommendation and to consider five others with additional detail. What I'm passing out right now is a list that I've spoken to almost all the authority members over the last few days, some of you many, many times. Not quite everybody, but almost everybody. Some of you said many, many times over the last few days. And just based on some of the discussions we have, I'd like to put forward sort of a draft alternative proposal to the staff proposal. And what this is this is a list. This is a list that comes from those discussions, which includes the 10 projects that are in the staff recommendation and adds two others. It adds $11.6 million to Arlington County for the Crystal City Streets Project, which fully funds that program, and adds $20 million to the Leesburg Route 7 Battlefield Parkway Interchange, which doesn't fully fund that project, but we've had some conversations with VDOT, with the Secretary's office, is significantly substantial that it would allow VDOT to continue moving forward with the project. There's still some details that need to be refined on that, including where there's some as of yet unidentified funding that we need to work on. So this would allow the project to continue moving forward and presumably be fully funded in a future project plan. That would bring, if this draft would be approved, that would bring the program total to $466 million and change, although I hate to refer to $43,000 as change, which is still almost $9 million under the cap that was recommended by the Finance Committee. And so I put this out there as an alternative, and perhaps this could be a launch-off point for discussions. But with that, I will open up the floor and allow for comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Ms. Rand.
For the purpose of having a discussion, I would like to just make the motion.
On this project list.
On this project list. Okay. That this is the project list that this body, the project list that has just been handed to us, that this body moves to accept this list of projects to be funded by this authority.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second.
Second for Mr. Patel.
Okay.
Any discussion?
Well,
good. I make your motion to that.
Thank you. You know, I sit both on the Finance Committee and the Planning Coordination Advisory Committee. I sit on both those committees, and we have had, first of all, lots of discussions and very good discussions about the projects. You know, I took to heart what Mr. Pissett said last at our program meeting that, you know, we do have a formulaic way to get to these numbers, and we don't want to upend that. It is also true, though, that we want to, as Mr. Snyder said, make sure that we have a diversity of projects, a diversity of uses, a diversity of geographic areas, and I believe that this your recommended project list does that. Of course, it is important to me that we move the Route 7 project for all the reasons we talked about during the public hearing and all the reasons we've talked about since then. It does come in below the funding cap given by the Finance Committee, so I think that is helpful. And I think that it does provide the diversity of funding of project sources that we like to have, and the diversity of geographical location. So for those reasons, I move this.
Discussion, Ms. Rishel.
I agree with Ms. Randall, and I would say that instead of yes-no answers, I think this was a very nuanced approach, and I think this list is a real keeper.
Yes, Mr. Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to thank you personally for your amazing efforts to bring us all together. And after this, there's the United Nations and a few challenges that are probably less difficult.
But I'd have to run for president to do that. That job's been taken.
Well, let me know when you're running. But I want to thank MBTA staff and all the jurisdictional staff. There's a huge amount of work to bring us to this point. And other members here, I sat through two of the committee meetings. This was something worked on by people of goodwill trying to write and reach a compromise and an approach that's very much in the public interest. To me, going forward, there are a few points of focus that I want to really emphasize. The first, the chairman already indicated the importance of diversity in types of projects and in jurisdictional equity and small and large jurisdictions. Certainly the types of projects
in the future, I hope to see a more of a balance with transit, bike, and other things. But I also recognize that roads are a critical part of getting people to and from where they need to go. So we need to include those clearly. I think it's important to continue to work and look at our criteria. I think cost-benefit analysis is important, and if applied appropriately, can approve both large and small projects. Mostly I'm concerned about the long term. I had the opportunity to serve with the predecessor to this group, I think, when we all met at NOVA under John Mason's tutelage, and we're all trained by him. And I think we've made amazing progress, and I want to thank the members of the General Assembly who made the funding possible to really be here tonight. There is one point I want to make in the future. We need to keep air quality requirements very much in mind in the group of projects we approve in the future. Those requirements are not going to get easier. They're probably going to get tougher, and it means that we're really going to need to find ways to reduce our reliance on single-occupancy vehicles, because otherwise we're creating a big problem for this region we're going to have to deal with in the future. So those are my comments. Now, I plan to abstain in the vote, but I told as a chairman, if it's necessary to get this package through tonight, I'll vote for it. I just wanted to lay out a couple of the concerns that I have for the long term, but mostly compliment all the members here and all of our staffs for an incredible amount of work that ultimately is very much in the public interest. So thank you.
Mr. Minchin.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I'll start local and then go more global. As a person who lives in Loudoun County and Leesburg, I really appreciate that our staff, Ms. Bachman, you as our chairman, work together with the chairman of the board supervisor, Ms. Randall, the mayor of our town of Leesburg, and listening to us on the Battlefield Parkway interchange. When that interchange goes in, if you're driving westbound on Route 7 and you pass the Dulles Town Center Mall and you have the Countryside Boulevard traffic light, due to the work of our board of supervisors with a bunch of projects, you will not hit another traffic light until you're over the Blue Ridge Mountains at the front door into the town of Berryville, way outside of Plain District 8. So by taking out this one last remaining traffic signal that will work in with what our board of supervisors has done, Route 7, at least from Route 28 in the west, will be a well-moving road. Also, Mr. Chairman, so I want to thank everyone who worked on that one. As you recall from the last meeting, I was probably a bit of a financial skeptic on Route 28 and I-66 for a couple reasons. I first was wondering whether or not we were approving an interchange or making a capital contribution toward a new venture with the Commonwealth. And I like the former. I'm not comfortable with the latter. But I believe that, as Secretary Lane said, this project is a big interchange, but it is a discrete project. If you want to, you could take a red Sharpie and draw the box around where our money is going to be spent. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, I actually forced myself to drive out to Greater Centerville at 5:45 on a Friday afternoon. I was driving up the Newsgate Shopping Center in Douglas Hugo's district, and I had a real good feel of what Interstate 66 and 28 is like at 5:45 on Friday afternoon. And that also leads me to this project. And more and more I thought about it, Mr. Chairman, I even thought about some corollary benefits.
Should have stopped by.
There's a 90-minute drive-through. Also, Mr. Chairman, you may know, way outside, moving out of 66, we've got a pretty major part of the Port of Virginia, the inland port. Very few people know about it. It's on that side of the Blue Ridge. But that port, with the post-Panamax boats coming into our port, that will become more active. The way that those containers will make the way to Dulles Airport may well be through 66 to this new interchange going to Dulles Airport, the only airport that has a cargo future in our nation's capital. So I started thinking about this, Mr. Chairman, and that's why I will be supporting this project as big as it is.
Before you go, on behalf of the people of Mr. Hugo's district, as well as my magisterial district and the cities of Manassas and Manassas Park, we are glad that you could share the pain. Mr. Black.
Chairman, I really appreciate the work that's been done by everyone, and particularly the work that gets Battlefield Parkway Interchange in. I guess I've been at this. I mean, I know a lot of us have, but I've been at it a long time. And And many years ago, I got Route 7 planning on the six-year plan, and then it was later stripped off. So been many, many years in the process, but both the counties and also the, with other sources, we've managed to move forward. And this particular interchange is going to be sort of the last bottleneck on there, and that's a wonderful thing. As far as having the interchange at I-66 and 28, many years ago, I put in the legislation that extended the Route 28 tax district, and we had planned to build initially 10 interchanges, and we have just continued and walked that on down, and I think as far out as we can go, it just continues to improve it. And of course, this is a very, very big bite along the way getting across I-66. So I think it's just going to increase the utility of that incredibly valuable freeway. So while I have some misgivings about I-66 in terms of the way that that whole project is being done, I do very much support going across the I-66. I think it's going to be a very good thing for us.
Mr. Chairman, I would. It looks from the discussion so far that this is going to pass. I would like to first of all thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know as chairman, you've been very hands-on, working with all members of the board or of the authority, and I really appreciate. And we all know what that entails. Hard work and give and take and meeting with each of us. I would also like to just say, I think this, I really appreciated this process. And I remember in particular Chairman Randall asked a question, I think it was at finance. And she asked, does it matter that we have a public hearing? And does it really matter that people come out? Or is this solely an academic exercise? And we just look at the scoring, and if you score here, automatically, that is what gets funded, and that there's no real value to people coming out. I thought there was a lot of value in the public comment process. I didn't have an appreciation for the battlefield interchange before. People came and spoke at the public hearing. And it wasn't just that, we're making a change to the list because of a number of people, but it's because things were brought to our attention that we were not necessarily aware of. And it changed my opinion, away from just looking at, the scoring, but looking at other things that really needed to be taken into account as far as including another project. So I think that the process has been really good. I think it's been respectful of larger jurisdictions and smaller jurisdictions and working together and try to accommodate all of our needs. So thank you. Thank you to our staff, our jurisdictional staffs. Thank you to Monica. I think that this was well done by everyone.
Thank you. I'd like to echo the sentiments of my friend and colleague, Chairman Bulova. I think you put it really well, and I was unaware of the concerns about the battlefield exchange, the interchange. I know that we had talked about it in finance, and that is such a good group, a finance group, I must say. I think, and our chairman, Mayor Parrish, handles it really well. And but I want to say how as far as our role in terms of Alexandria and the fact that the Potomac Yard Metro, this is a huge influx of funding that is critical to our being able to create, to put this metro stop in. And of course, it is truly a regional metro stop, but as the mayor of Alexandria, I'm certainly grateful, and I know that we are working very hard to make sure that all the funds are handled very well. I recognize that everything that we want, we can't get, but I'm glad as far as what is on this list and that it is so regional. And I'm really glad that Chairman Lindell, also, that you expressed yourself so well with regard to your community's needs. And Chairman Noe, your leadership has been an honor to work with you on this. And my thanks to the staff for always keeping us informed. You all are on it. So thank you very much for all your hard work. So thank you.
Chairman, thank you very much. I must say that I take a little different tack here than what I've heard tonight. And this vote tonight is a difficult vote for me for many reasons. I've not contacted folks to talk with them a great deal about this issue because I didn't see it as my effort to try to get votes. I want to thank Secretary Lane and Deputy Secretary Donahue for your kindness. I appreciate it very much. Same goes to Sharon Bulva. Chairman Bulva, you're a good friend. Marty Noe, you've done an outstanding job, I must admit. And it is obvious that this body is going to vote for the motion that is at hand. And though I have significant concerns, at least in my own mind, I know where this vote is going. I will say some of my concerns here. I have written a document that I'd like to share with folks, but it isn't going to matter. But I would like to share a couple of thoughts. I'm concerned that the federal government is not investing heavily and substantially in this project, particularly the 6628 interchange. And 66 itself. I'm concerned that the Commonwealth, I believe, should invest more. We heard from Secretary Lane about that earlier. I do have major concern about turning our roadways over to the private sector. Now, that's a hard thing for me to say because I come from the private sector. I've worked in our family business since I was 14 years old. I have a master's degree in business management, and I believe in the private sector. Our own TAC has expressed their concerns. I won't quote them. We all saw it earlier. And I'm concerned that when this is built, I'm talking about 66, as is planned by the Commonwealth, it will be another cost that our citizens bear. In addition, there will be another toll road, 66, inside the Beltway. I think my largest concern is turning our roads over to the private sector, even though I'm a private sector guy. When I was a kid, my mom and dad taught me some valuable lessons. They said, always save some from your paycheck and pay yourself first. One way we could do that, well, we could do that. I won't tell everybody how because I think you all know. In addition,
a mentor of mine from some years ago, a former mayor of Manassas, used to advise us all, as we were council members, if you owned a piece of property that was valuable, you don't sell it. And I'm afraid that's what we're doing. Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to say a word or two. As you can tell, I didn't go through the whole thing. I am mindful of my friends around this table, and you have come to the conclusion that this is the right thing to do. I hope for 50 years we all think that's the case. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Ritchie.
First of all, I really appreciate what Mayor Parrish had said, and it makes me think, in light of something that Senator Lane has said about federal government possibly getting out of the road business for the Eisenhower Interstate System, they might want to consider taking the 18.4 cents per gallon for gas that are federal gas tax and the 24.4 cents for diesel that they charge every gallon and turn that money back to the states, if indeed they're going to get out of maintaining the Eisenhower Interstate System.
Yeah, two things. One, I really agree with my friend from Manassas on so many of the issues. And he makes a point, and I think everybody needs to listen to it, and I hope they do. It is a dangerous precedent when we start to fund. When this program was set up, this was indeed to fund ancillary roads, not to fund interstates. And so I think it's a challenging precedent we're going down. And also, too, with the federal government, a lot of times the federal government for the interstate highways has been 90, I was chief of staff, the transportation, it's 90-10, 80-20, it's evolved over the years. So I think we have to be very careful with what we're doing. That being said, you know, the perfect mortal enemy of the good on this one. And so I think you make great points, and I think we're right to listen to you on this one. The overwhelming concern I have, this is the number one jam of a project, congestion project in Northern Virginia. And it's not just, and it sits on my district and Le Munyans and David Bulova and others, but indeed it reverberates from Arlington to Loudoun to Fauquier and out, and then all the way north and south, Prince William, you know, all the way to the airport, down to 28 through your district and others. So I hear what you're saying, and I hope everybody takes it very candidly and very seriously. I've had a number of members of the House and the Senate call me about this thing and make the point you're making that NVTA should not be funding interstate roads. And they're absolutely right. And I hope this is the exception to the rule. I hope people listen to the exception to the rule. And this doesn't become a precedent. I think if it becomes habitual, I think it will be dangerous for the program long term. So. And the perfect mortal enemy of the good on this one. But I hope everybody takes to heart what you're saying. And I will tell you, many members of the House of Delegates and Senate have voiced exactly what you said.
You know, I agree with both of the major points that Mr. Kirk makes. it has always struck me as a very, very much a market-driven guy, that there are a handful of things that government does and that government should do exclusively, and one of them is to run the roads. And we have in Loudoun County probably the preeminent example of a problem caused where we privatized a road with the Greenway. Greenway has been a nightmare for everybody who's dealt with it. We're stuck contractually, and it does concern me as I look at some of our roads. Like as I go down 95, and we've got this vast expanse of right of way, and we have segmented the road so that the main part of our right-of-way down the center is sort of the limousine highway If you got the money, you jump on. If you can do it at the right place, and you zip along while everybody else is sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I would hope that over time that we can begin to move away from that. To me, everybody ought to be equal on the highway. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you ought to have an equal right because that's a public roadway, and you shouldn't be favored because you have a little more cash to spend and you can afford the extra time or the extra ability to pay and go a little bit faster. So anyway, I certainly support those comments, although I think that the projects laid out here are have been done in a very thorough fashion.
Yeah, as one of the newer guys here, I've been on, 6 months now. Thank you, Mayor Parrish. That was an interesting sort of philosophical at some level conversation to have that I expect this authority may grapple with over time, especially if other projects like this come up, and it's probably a very valid one. I also expect that VDOT put it out there early on that this wasn't going to automatically happen. You guys were incredibly diligent, and we all are presuming, and from what we know, this is a different approach to this kind of a project, public-private partnership, than we may have had in the past. But I think it behooves us all to be aware of the points that, you know, W. Hugo and you have just made. I want to thank Monica, Marty, VDOT. I mean, Monica is managing. Marty is rough, I know. I felt last month was a great conversation. The planning commission committee, I guess, that we had was a very good conversation. And if I left with any today, if I have any sort of takeaway from the evolution of this package in front of us, it's that the package validates that this complicated sort of multifaceted formula, the scoring system, is valuable, and it has been honored, I think, by what we're doing today. But it also validates that scoring systems are not perfect. You can't purely apply them, and that it is important that the authority retain some of that judgment, some of that flexibility to apply to the sort of backbone that comes through the scoring system. So what I'd always heard was NVTA worked by consensus to a large degree. I mean, a consensus doesn't mean unanimity, but it means working towards a great amount of consensus in an end result. And I think today's package proves that what I had always heard about NVTA is true. So a very good, I think, collaborative effort that evolved throughout with a lot of effective partners making it happen. So I'm happy to support the motion that I seconded.
Anything else? I actually have a question I'm going to ask the staff. Anything else coming? Let me ask a couple of things. Question for Mr. Longy. The guy who sells me advertising in my appliance store is named Mike DeLong. I reverse
DeLong.
When we did this, you weren't here, so I can't put you on the spot on this. When we adopted the FY14 project list, we went into it knowing we were going to exceed our revenue for that year and had to go to the bond market. And after adopting, we had a bigger stack of paper. And after adopting the project list, we then had to adopt a second thing that bifurcated that list into bond versus cash projects. And then we had to adopt things that initiated a bond validation suit and talked, you hired people. There was a lot of bond-related stuff. I don't see that here tonight. And I can guess why the reasons are, but maybe you can tell us, when are we going to talk about bond issues, presuming we move forward with this project list?
Thank you, Chairman Noe. We will start talking to the project sponsors, perfecting the cash flow demands that they have. And we will build a plan of finance over the fall that will probably, we'll work through the finance committee and we'll arrive back to the authority with that large stack of papers. They will come, but it will be probably late fall.
Excellent, thank you. Two other issues I just want to bring up, and I guess this is sort of a question for the maker and seconder of the motion, two policy issues that I feel like we should bring into this motion. First one was one that Mr. Minshew brought up, Mr. Hugo talked about a bit with Secretary, is this issue of getting more information about the long-term benefit, we use in a different way. The potential excess toll revenues. May not be the technically correct term, but I think we know what we're talking about. Talk about that prior and entering the MOU prior to adopting the SPA. Would it be reasonable to include in the motion that distinction that needs to be brought back to us? Second friendly amendment I would ask for is one of the issues that we talked a lot about at the planning committee meeting was that some of the projects here, there are still some issues that need to be smoothed out in terms of when funding would become available, when the project would begin to draw down. One that was pointed out in the PowerPoint presentation was the Blue Line traction power upgrades, where I think we've gotten most of the answers we're looking for from WMATA about that, but there's still some room for concern. What I'd like to include is, as part of the application, we have a document called Appendix B, which lays out the timeline and expected cash flows of the product. I'd like to include in the motion that prior to the adoption of any SPAs, that the sponsoring agencies and jurisdictions would revisit that Appendix B with staff so that we don't find ourselves in a situation of if something has gone south, if a project falls apart, we don't find ourselves allocating money to something through the SPA and then for them to be able to pay it out. I think that's
not just reasonable, but I actually think it helps the jurisdiction stay on track. So, absolutely.
So, with those, let me just make a couple of quick comments that I just want to share. First of all, and a few of you had some nice words for me, and I appreciate that. But I just want to say, some of you had nice words for our staff too. It would be difficult for me to describe how hard staff has worked on this over the last 6, 8, 10 months. I want to thank Ms. Backman, Mr. Longhi, and all the NVTA staff. We are at this time a shop of 6 people, and this is a body of work that, in many places, would require, you'd expect from an outcome of a team of 40 people. The number of times that I have answered my phone as I'm thinking about going to bed, and Monica said, "Hey, I have one more thing I need to talk to you about," and sadly, my answer to all this is, "Thank God you called about this, because I wouldn't be able to sleep if you hadn't shared this information." But they've worked incredibly hard. I cannot thank you enough. And I think back to the very first project list we adopted, which Monica was working for Prince William County at the time, but was very much the staff lead on that list. And so the other piece, in addition to thanking the 6 MBTA staff members, I also know that there are truly countless jurisdictional and agency staff that have been involved in this. And I want to thank all the folks from our counties and cities and towns who have also had those late night deadlines to get stuff into us so we can make a good decision. I really do understand what a big job this was for not just the MBTA staff, certainly them, but for a lot of other staff as well. The other thing I want to talk about is that, and Jay touched on this a little bit, is when we talk, you've all seen me give the presentation, the slideshow that I've given so much I can do in my sleep at this point. And what I was beginning with is, what is the NVTA? And I describe this as the premier regional planning, programming, and funding transportation agency. This, to me, is this process, not necessarily the outcomes, but the process we've been through, to me, really sets a gold standard for what we do with regionalism here in Northern Virginia. I used to be president of the Virginia Association of Planning District Commissions, which is a title that sounds way more impressive than it really is. But I got to travel around the state talking about regionalism in other parts of the state. And sometimes we would get criticized. I still hear a little bit at the General Assembly about, you guys don't work together well enough as a region. Anyone who ever says that to me again, I will point to this program list and this process we've been through and say, don't tell me that anyone in the state is working as well as a region as Northern Virginia is, because there's not a region in the state that could produce what we've produced here to get through this process. So with that, if there's any other questions on this matter? Spears, you take a vote?
Chairman Noe.
Yes.
Mayor Silverthorne.
Aye.
Chairman Bulova.
Yes.
Chair Randall.
Enthusiastically, yes.
Board Member Fassett.
Yes.
Mayor Silverberg.
Yes.
Councilmember Snyder.
Abstain.
Councilmember Rochelle.
Yes.
Mayor Parrish.
Yes.
Senator Black.
Yes.
Delegate Hugo.
Aye.
Delegate Minshew.
Yes.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
By vote of 13 yeses and one abstention, with more than six jurisdictions, or at least six jurisdictions voting in the affirmative, and at least 2/3 of the population voting in the affirmative, the motion carries. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Now for the really hard work. Mr. Long, you talk to me about the drawdown commitment policy.
Thank you, Chairman Noe. I will move through quickly and most importantly point to the last page of this item, and you can see the coordination where this item has already gone through all of the authorities committees, and including the RJAC and the Council of Council. But briefly, Policy 17 is designed for fiscal year 17's programming, and it currently Policy 17 sets a 3-year benchmark. When combined with Policy 16, we have two milestones to check in on projects. Policy 16 is at 6 months, and 17 is at 3 years. What these revisions to Policy 17 do is allow for virtually a monthly check-in through communication with the jurisdictions on project activation and project progress, and it would be reported through the county, through the executive director's monthly report to the authority. And with that overview, if there are any specific questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
First, we have a motion.
Move approval.
Ms. Bullock, motion. Second?
Second.
Second from Ms. Rochelle. Any questions or discussion? I just want to say I'm very pleased with these changes. I almost wish they were more aggressive. I want to say, and this is sort of this is the warning piece of it. Particularly, I mean, yes, this year, and even more so when we get to FY18 and beyond, it's going to be very important that when we fund projects, that those projects actually get built. The question came up with planning. You laugh. I'll be honest. We've got a lot of cash in the bank still from projects from 14 and 15 that are moving along, and Monica checks in with certain agencies every 2 weeks on the status of some projects. But it is the credibility of our region really hinges on the notion that when we approve a project, we know when those bulldozers are going to hit the ground, or those new wheels are going to start rolling, or that tracks are going to get put in place.
Absolutely.
So with that, any questions? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That's our last action item. Finance Committee report, Mr. Parrish.
Let me do this. Let me also indicate that that I missed the last Finance Committee meeting. I want to thank Council Member Rochelle for taking up that as vice chair. And I'm told that there were great results coming out of that, so she's going to take up that that report.
Thank you, Mayor Parrish. Mr. Michael Garber from PB Mayors introduced himself to the Finance Committee at the June 16th meeting. The purpose was to ensure a direct and open line of communication between the committee and the auditor. Regarding the FY17 funding, as you may know, the Finance Committee had several meetings before unanimously agreeing to the FY17 funding recommendation of not to exceed $475 million. And the recommended bonding was about $208 million, that number, of course, subsequently being revised earlier in the meeting. Regarding Policy 17, likewise, the committee also unanimously recommended adoption of the adjustments to the FY17 program first drawdown policy in order to ensure project progress. And that concludes the Finance Committee report. Thank you.
Mr. Foreman is not here for the PCAC report, but I think we got it in the staff presentation. Is that fair?
Well, it's in the pack.
In the pack, okay. TAC report, Mr. Boyce.
I have nothing to add, sir. It's our report. Thank you for passing the list.
Thank you. Mr. Long, anything to add on operating or finance? Or
thank you, Chairman Noe. I would just add on the revenue report that the authority's revenues continue to perform strongly to their estimates, despite what we're hearing from the broader state level.
Okay. Ms. Backman.
Mr. Chairman, regarding my report, I just wanted to add that at your next meeting, we will present draft vision and goals regarding your five-year strategic plan. I know it seems like a while ago that we had a work session with the authority back in April and trying to get your input on developing the goals and vision for your five-year strategic plan. We would like to bring, working with staff, we have worked with the RJAC to fine-tune what we heard from you in your own work session, and we would anticipate bringing this to you for adoption at your next meeting. Also, I want to note that the Finance Committee meeting that was scheduled for next Thursday has been canceled. As of now, your Technical Advisory Committee meeting that was scheduled for next Wednesday has also been canceled. The Planning Coordination Advisory Committee meeting is scheduled for Thursday, July the 28th. They, as of now, they are planning to meet. Okay.
Anything else?
That's it? That is it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I just have a couple of items here. First of all, I did this. Is Senator Evans still here? I feel bad if you left. Senator Evan? I wasn't wearing my glasses when I walked in. welcome, Mercer Sickles, though. I didn't know if we had to do a recognition. First action, one item I want to do with Ms. Bashu leaving the authority. We have a vacancy on the Governance Committee.
Governance Committee.
I'd like to appoint, I'm going to appoint Mary Hines to the Governance Personnel Committee, which is a committee that she actually created and then never got to serve on. So actually, we're appointed to that committee. And see if there's something else in that regard. And question. As of our last discussion, Ms. Backman, we have presentations for September, but we didn't have any time-sensitive action items. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I'm not ready. Let me acknowledge that I might be out of town in early September, but I'm also not a believer in holding meetings where nothing's going to change as an outcome of the meeting. I guess we've made a motion on this. I don't want to cancel the meeting, but can we have a motion to authorize the chairman to cancel the meeting if we don't need to have it?
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Bolivar. All in favor?
All right.
Okay. I don't know if we'll have it or not. If I'm out of town, we will not have it. But I don't know if we'll have it. But that wouldn't be the motivator. The motivator would be, again, if there's nothing to do, let's stop. We can get presentations in October. Once again, I just want to thank staff. Again, NBTA staff. And the jurisdictional staff. And is there a new business, Mr. Steiner?
Thanks a lot, Mr. Chairman. In view of the virtually unanimous vote on the program, I'm wondering if the group would allow me to change to be in support so it would make a unanimous regional vote in support of the program.
I think that would be a motion to suspend the rules and allow a member to change how his recorded vote is. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Ruschel, seconded by Ms. Randall. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Mr. Steiner. Mr. Hagel?
I've got one, and I heard you mention earlier. I know Ms. Hines has got a point. One thing I hope going forward, I noticed on the Planning and Programming Committee, there's no members of the General Assembly on that. I think it might be useful for you to consider, not tonight, but if you consider at some point, I think Mr. Minshew is a very able, smart man and able, but I think it needs to be, I think it would be helpful. For the program and for NBTA, if there was a member of the General Assembly on that subcommittee.
Watch out, Mr. Delegate Hugo, you may get what you asked for.
That's why I nominated Minshew.
You know how you became my caucus chairman.
Does he know you were going to do that?
I think that's a good idea, Mr. Hugo. My only question is, if we do most of this planning, if this time sensitive because are the General Assembly members here when we start doing some of the planning, if it's time sensitive?
But, I know that I attended the last PPC meeting, even not a committee member. I sat at the table, recognized by the chair, literally fully participated in the discussion.
Sounds like Mr. Venture is volunteering anyway, so that's good.
What it is, and this is something Mr. Hugo and I have communicated on a little bit. Let me take a look at it.
I'm not saying tonight.
Yeah.
I just hope it's something you.
It's about to get really boring after tonight.
sure, we'll be back in there.
The Yes, well, but why don't I do this, and I'll look to Mayor Silverthorne on this. Let me have a conversation with my governance committee chair, because it may require a bylaws revision.
Thank you.
All right, deal with that. Okay. And anything else? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Nothing else, this meeting's adjourned. See you in September, October.